Today, markets higher as they hang on for rate cuts again, while voters vote against incumbency. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analysis, World's Latest Post covering finance and property news. And this is our weekly market update where we start in the US, across to Europe and Asia, and then in Australia, while covering the main points in commodities and crypto along the way. And this past week has been a doozy, with US markets still clawing higher on increased rate cut expectations, as the latest employment data and adjustments pose some important questions alongside a weakening dollar. While in the UK, the incoming Labour government won with a whopping seat majority despite voters really voting against the Tories rather than for Starmer. In France, horse trading ahead of Sunday's second poll could mean the right to not get the prize they're expecting, while oil was firmer across the week on fears of Middle East conflicts. And in crypto, Bitcoin has dropped by more than 20% from recent highs. Wall Street stock indices closed firmer on Friday, with the tech-heavy Nasdaq and the benchmark S&P 500 hitting record highs. The rally was fueled by mega-cap stocks such as Microsoft, which rose nearly 1.5% to end at a record high, and Meta Platforms also scored an all-time closing high, gaining around 5.9% to push the information technology sector to a record high. That said, New Street Research analyst downgraded Nvidia stock to neutral from buy, noting that consensus expectations imply that GPU revenue will increase by 35% in 2025, which, by the way, aligns with their previous forecast, but added that they see limited further upside based on what we hear from the value chain. We downgrade the stock to neutral today, as upside will only materialize in a bull case in which the outlook beyond 2025 increases materially, and we do not have the conviction on this scenario playing out yet, analysts wrote. New Street Research said that the consensus currently projects revenue growth to slow to mid-teens, a rate that could be at risk given the potential slowdown in hyperscale capital expenditures and increasing competition from the likes of AMD and others. Major banks fell ahead of second quarter corporate earnings reports, which will start next Friday. Higher interest rates and an uncertain economic environment is casting a cloud over US bank earnings. Bank of America, Wells Fargo, and JP Morgan and Chase dropped between 1.2 and 1.7%, and that pushed the S&P 500 banks index 1.6% lower. Macy's on Friday, those surged 9.5% after reports said that Arkhouse Management and Brigade Capital raised their bid to buy the department store chain for about $6.9 billion. And all up, the Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 0.17% to close at 39,375. The S&P 500 gained 0.54% to 5,567. And the Nasdaq Composite was up 0.9% to 18,352. For the week, the S&P 500 gained 1.95%, the Nasdaq rose 3.5%, and the Dow climbed 0.66%. But the Russell 2000 Small Cap Index was down 0.95% for the week, and the S&P 500 equal weight was parallel to its 2022 high, which shows the narrowness of the support for the all-time highs on the S&P 500. Reports on Wednesday showed that the American services sector contracted at the fastest pace in 4 years, and data earlier in the week also showed that private payroll additions eased last month, and the quits rate, a gauge of labour market confidence, held steady, suggesting possibly there were waning signs of wage pressure. The US economy has added more jobs than anticipated in June, although the figure was lower than the prior month, pointing to a possible cooling in labour market demand in the world's largest economy. Non-farm payrolls actually came in at 206,000 last month. That was down from 218,000 in May, according to the Labour Department data. The May reading was also revised down heavily from an initial mark of 272,000, while April's was lowered by 57,000 to 108,000. The biggest jobs increases were in education and health services sectors, which helped offset losses in retail trade and mining and logging. But those big downgrade revisions to April and May are the story. the job market appears to be slowing, and the reason why there were the downgrades seems a bit murky, but maybe to do with business failures. Meanwhile, the unemployment rate inched up to 4.1%. That's the highest level since November 2021 and above expectations that it would match the May pace of 4%. A month-on-month average hourly wage growth slowed slightly to 0.3% from 0.4%. That was in line with estimates. Now, in theory, steam leaving the jobs market and by extension wages could contribute to an easing in inflation, and moderating price gains would in turn support hopes that the Federal Reserve will cut interest rates down from the more than two-decade highs of 2024. Odds of the US central bank easing in September did jump to 79% from 66%, but as you'll see before the data came out, and Powell will begin 2 days of testing before Congress on Tuesday, but the Fed speak does still remain hawkish. Next week's inflation data could provide Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell with the opportunity to tee up a September rate cut, according to Jefferies, following a slew of recent economic data, including Friday's labour market, that has kicked the Fed's good news counter into gear. Economists do expect headline CPI to have risen 0.2% in June from a pace of 0% a month earlier, while core CPI, a more closely watched measure which strips out food and energy prices, is expected to remain unchanged at 0.2%. The softer CPI would mark the second month of slowing inflation and add further confidence that upside surprises seen in the first quarter were a mere aberration from the deflationary trend seen last year. But I guess we'll see. The dollar index initially extended declines, and the dollar weakness against the yen also showed before pairing losses. The index, which measures the greenback against a basket of currencies, was last down 0.24% at 104.88, with the euro up 0.26% at 1.0839, and against the Japanese yen, the dollar was down 0.31% at 160.74. In oil, city analysts say geopolitical tensions and extreme weather events remain risks for oil prices in the near term. They point to conflicts in the Middle East and Hurricane Beryl as examples. However, despite those factors supporting prices in the $80 ranges, city sees reasons for a potential softening later in the year. Underlying physical market strength looks set to turn softer, city said. They add that while demand signals are mixed, with some bright spots like higher than expected gasoline demand in the US, it remains lower year over year. Brent was last at 86.89, while WTI was at 83.36. Gold headed for a back-to-back weekly gain on expectations that the Federal Reserve will indeed trim interest rates before the end of the year. Futures were last at $2,399.85, up 1.29%, and silver has also benefited from the upswing, advancing to $31.52 an ounce and up 2.21%. European shares fell on Friday, weighed down by losses in banks and energy stocks as investors became more cautious ahead of the second round of voting in France parliamentary elections. The pan-European stocks 600 index ended 0.18% lower, notching a more than 1 week high earlier in the day. The index, however, clocked a 1% gain for the week. French financial markets have come under selling pressure since President Emmanuel Macron called for a snap election last month, with concerns that a far-right win could add worries over fiscal sustainability. But there is also nervousness about what will happen if there is no clear winner in Sunday's second round of voting. Fresh polls show that the far-right National Rally, or RN party, and its allies were still in the lead, but looked to fall short of getting an outright majority. French stocks fell 0.26% on Friday to 7,675, but logged their biggest weekly gain since early May, with banking stocks dropping 0.9%, among the biggest weights on the benchmark index, while energy shares fell almost 1%, leading sectorial declines. The UK national election on Thursday propelled the Labour Party to a sweeping victory, and Labour leader Keir Starmer became the new Prime Minister. In the six-week election campaign, Labour had a massive lead in the polls, and there was no doubt it would win a huge majority in Parliament. The latest update shows that Labour has won 411 seats, and the Conservatives have secured 121 seats. This gives Labour a massive majority in the House of Commons. One seat has not yet been declared a winner. Actually, though, this was a vote against the Tories, while the share of the vote that Labour got hardly moved and was in fact lower than in recent elections. Votes went to the right in the form of reform, or to the Liberal Democrats, the Greens and other parties, and Labour was unseated in a couple of spots as a result of this and in the light of their stance on Gaza. As Sky put it, a thumping majority without a thumping share of the vote. And chief poll analyst John Curtis said, actually, but for the rise of the Labour Party in Scotland, we will be reporting that basically Labour's vote has not changed from what it was in 2019. Roughly one third of votes and two thirds of seats shows the problem with the first past the post system, with turnout, which is not compulsory in the UK, below 60%. Labour is pretty centralist and conservative, actually. Starmer did not win because Britain was hankering for a social democratic government. He did not win because his Albanese-style small target strategy appealed to voters. He won merely because he wasn't the government. Starmer won because Labour was not the Tories. Prime Minister Rishi Sunak's government was stale, tired, divided, regicidal, and largely directionless, sapped by 8 years of post-Brexit chaos. So the Labour victory may have ended 14 years of Conservative rule, but with power comes the responsibility to revive the weak UK economy, which fell into a recession in the second half of 2023. Productivity and wages have been stagnant, and the national debt is now larger than the size of the economy. Inflation has finally dropped to a 2% target, at least for now, but the Bank of England hasn't lowered interest rates, and that has taken a toll on businesses and households. Now, Labour's policies are expected to be relatively business-friendly, according to analysts at Citi. More broadly, the UK market remains cheap, Citi said, although the UK EPS growth should lag peers in both 2024 and 2025. But the blue chip FTSE 100 fell 0.45%, while the pound was at 1.2815 against the US dollar. But this perhaps is reflecting more weakness in the dollar than anything else. And note that Britain is not the only country where a political party is making inroads simply because it's in opposition. The common thread that unites elections in Britain, the US, France and the EU, and actually everywhere else in the Western world, is this. Voters want to punish incumbents. People are still feeling the ache from the cost of living crisis, the rising energy costs, the double-digit inflation, the interest rate increases. They feel like politicians haven't done enough to tackle this, and are disconnected from a society that voters feel is going from bad to worse. Asian stocks were a mixed bag on Friday, with Chinese shares sliding further as steep European tariffs on Chinese imports took effect, while South Korean markets outperformed on gains in Samsung. Chinese stocks were the worst performing for the day, with the Shanghai Shenzhen CSI 300 and Shanghai Composite indices losing over 1% each. Both indices extended a slump seen through most of June and early July. European Union tariffs on Chinese electric vehicle imports, with some companies seeing tariffs as high as 38%, took effect from Friday as China and the EU failed to reach a deal to lower or delay the proposed duties. The move ramped up concerns over a trade war with the West, especially after Beijing flagged such a possibility in response to the tariffs. Friday's losses were also driven by concerns over increased tensions between China and Taiwan, after reports said China had seized a Taiwanese fishing trawler operating near the Chinese coast. Reports on Friday also said that Chinese military aircraft were in the Taiwan Strait. Losses in mainland stocks also pulled Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index down 0.8%. South Korea's KOSPI was the best performer in Asia on Friday, rising 1.32%. In the index was boosted by a 1.5% rise in Samsung Electronics, the largest stock in the country, after the electronics conglomerate flagged a 15-fold spike in its second quarter profit. Samsung benefited greatly from an increased demand for memory chips from the AI industry, which pushed up sales and also improved margins. Its consumer electronics business also has been benefiting somewhat from the AI integration. Gains in Samsung spilled over into other chip-making stocks. Memory chips rival SK Hynix rose 1.7%. Japan's Nikkei 225 and TOPIX indices steadied near record highs on Friday, with the latter briefly hitting record levels. Japan's Corporate Goods Price Index, the CGPI, a gauge of prices that firms charge each other, likely rose around 2.9% in June from a year earlier and accelerated from the prior month's 2.4%. Inflation data will be scrutinised by the central bank, which in March raised interest rates for the first time since 2007 and decided last month to reduce its government debt buying as a step towards normalising monetary policy. Recent strength in Japanese markets were driven by export-oriented stocks surging against a weaker yen, while the prospect of limited monetary tightening by the Bank of Japan also has boosted sentiment. Household spending data also was substantially softer than expected for May on Friday, furthering the notion that the Japanese economy remains fragile and will need more monetary support. And this in turn furthered bets that the Bank of Japan has only limited headroom to tighten policy further, keeping in place most of the ultra-loose monetary conditions enjoyed by Japanese markets for nearly a decade. Japanese tech stocks also tracked gains in Samsung. Investment giant SoftBank Group rose 0.4% and sat at record highs, as a report said the firm was seeking larger volumes of chips from Nvidia. India's Nifty 50 index remains close to recent highs, despite some profit-taking at 24,314. Australian shares drifted modestly lower on Friday ahead of those US jobs figures, so the benchmark ASX 200 finished down 0.12% at 7,822. The benchmark added 0.7% over the week, buoyed by gains in coal and gold stocks. Miners were the worst hit on Friday, down 0.5%, weighed by a 2% drop in the price of iron ore futures to $110 per ton. BHP fell 0.9% to $44.39, and Rio Tinto dropped 1.13% to $122.87. Banks also weighed on the index, with CBA down 0.59% to $127.10, while National Australia Bank dipped 1.23% to $35.33. The best performing sector was actually healthcare, added 0.7%, as market heavyweights CSL, Cochlear and ResMed all gained. Elsewhere, the world's largest oil group, Saudi Aramco, denied a Bloomberg report released on Thursday that claimed it was considering a bid for Santos. The ASX-listed gas giant lost 0.13% to $7.99 after jumping 4.2% on Thursday following the report. West African Resources was the best performing stock on the benchmark on Friday. Shares rose 5.1% to $1.44 after slumping 12% a day earlier, following a $150 million share placement priced at $1.37 apiece. Shares in Magellan rose another 4.7% to $9.50 to extend on a 6.1% gain on Thursday, after it posted flat inflows for the month of June, in a sign the recent string of outflows from the investment firm are abating. And meanwhile, the Australian dollar touched its highest level since the 2nd of January to buy 67.48 cents, following further weakness in the US dollar, and as traders also mulled the potential for the Reserve Bank of Australia to lift interest rates through 2024. And the pound was at 52.66 cents. Finally, new developments in the crypto space led to a Bitcoin price correction on Friday, sending the leading cryptocurrency to a four-month low. Bitcoin fell to as low as 53,500 US following news that the defunct crypto exchange Mt. Gox began making repayments to creditors. At its peak, Mt. Gox was the largest Bitcoin exchange, handling around 70% of all global Bitcoin transactions. The exchange shut down in February 2014 following a massive hack, and its former CEO was later convicted in a Japanese court for tampering with records. Despite closing its operations a decade ago, the trustee has only recently begun issuing refunds to victims, with numerous delays having stalled the rehabilitation process. In addition, the crypto asset was also pressurized as German police moved around $75 million of crypto confiscated from a piracy website into exchanges. And new data from Federal Reserve's minutes, which indicates that the central bank isn't necessarily ready to cut interest rates yet. Bitcoin later recovered and was trading near 56,674 at the time of writing. Moreover, the Federal Reserve's recent release of minutes from its June meeting revealed officials' reluctance to lower interest rates until further data indicates a sustainable move towards the central bank's 2% inflation target. Higher interest rates generally reduce investor appetite for riskier assets like Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies. And world number two token Ether slid, wiping out all of the gains made in late May, and hit a near two-month low before rising 5.2% to 3,000 dollars. Crypto losses were also driven in part by low trading volumes due to the 4th of July US holiday, but they also reflected steadily declining sentiment towards crypto as the hype over the approval of a spot Bitcoin exchange traded fund ran dry. MicroStrategy Incorporated, the largest publicly listed corporate holder of Bitcoin, saw its shares plummet more than 9%. Similarly, Bitcoin miner Riot Platforms and Marathon Digital Holdings plunged 7 and 6.3% respectively. And moreover, CleanSpark shares fell 4.6%, Cypher Mining slid 8.6%, and Coinbase Global lost 6%. And to add insult to injury, the amount of cryptocurrency stolen and hacked globally more than doubled in the first 6 months of 2024 from a year earlier, driven by a small number of large attacks and rising crypto prices, according to blockchain researchers TRM Labs. Hackers had stolen more than $1.38 billion worth of crypto by June 24, 2024, compared with $657 million in the same period to 2023. The median theft was 1.5 times larger than the year before, the report said. While we have not seen any fundamental changes in the security of the cryptocurrency ecosystem, we have seen a significant increase in the value of various tokens, from Bitcoin to Ether and Solana, compared with the same time last year, said the global head of policy at TRM Labs. So, standing back, still uncertainty, still, of course, more upside possibilities based on what AI can do, but also the expectation of rate cuts bubbling there below the surface. We will see whether they come to fruition. And as I always say at this time of year, remember, of course, that people go away over the summer and come back in September, October, and perhaps think, well, maybe we should sell now. So more uncertainty ahead. But I do think the real headline this week should relate to the political sphere, where many people are voting against rather than for something at the moment. Whether that's good for democracy is one question. Whether it's good for the economy is something else. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.